On Midwest Week, wrapping up this year's season of professional baseball in the Quad Cities, I'm Herb Tricks, and my guest this week is Steve Batterson, sports reporter for the Quad City Times. To start with, Steve, how much was the River Bandit season affected by flooding in the spring?
Well, certainly was a major storyline this year. Team was forced out of its home field for 18 games in the first half, 18 of its 35 home games in the first half. They played home games in Burlington, Clinton, Cedar Rapids, Peoria, and at the University of Iowa. So they were a very well-traveled team during the first half of the season.
And do you think playing away from home affected their record much at all?
You know, Ray Hernandez was a first-year manager of this team this year, and I thought he handled it about as well as he could. The team, you know, was basically living out of suitcases and travel bags for the first 2 months of the season, and they had success away from home. Got the guys to kind of believe that you're going to work every day, and there's a baseball field, there's a diamond there where you can work and improve on your game and do some early work, and they were able to get into some facilities early and have some time to kind of grow their games, which is part of what they're here to do. And from that standpoint, the work continued. The team kind of bought into it, and it certainly wasn't reflected in their record. They had an exceptionally good first half.
Didn't they qualify for the playoffs in the first half?
Yeah, they won the first half in the Western Division fairly handily. Had a lot of talent. A lot of pitching talent was kind of the nature of this team this year. Pitching and defense is how the team won games. And those guys dominated early. Pitching is usually ahead of hitting early in the season anyway. Mm-hmm. And they took control, and Quad Cities qualified for the playoffs as the first half champs in the West, despite the fact they didn't really play very many games in their home stadium.
So how about the second half of the playoffs? Not quite so good.
Yeah, the second half, kind of a new roster. As we've seen with Houston as the parent club the last few years here, they tend to promote guys fairly aggressively, move them on to that next challenge is what they like to do. There were 61 players who suited up for Quad Cities in games this season, and that's been a fairly common number. You have a 25-player roster, but there's a lot of churn going on, and guys being promoted to higher levels and that type of thing. And, you know, the team in the second half finished fourth in the division. They were a few games out of the race, and they weren't the same team they were in the first half. The pitching wasn't quite as sharp. The offense was fairly inconsistent all season. They didn't really have a lot of power. They were one of two teams in minor league baseball not to have a successful sacrifice bunt this year. So they didn't really play small ball, although they did lead the league in stolen bases. So when they had some quickness, and they were the best defensive team in the league from a statistical standpoint. So they had some things going for them, but they had to win close games, and they had to win them, usually by a 2-1 or 3-2 kind of score. The second half, it was a struggle down the stretch. The team the last couple of weeks of the season really struggled, and that carried over into the playoffs, and they ended up taking Cedar Rapids to a game three in a best-of-three series, but they weren't able to prevail.
Okay, so will the parent team, the Houston Astros, count this as a successful season for the River Bandits?
Team won 79 games over the course of the season, which puts them in the top 10 in terms of victory totals for a franchise that's 60 years old now. Mm-hmm. I think they moved 19 players up to High A Fayetteville, where many of those guys who helped Quad Cities win that first half title won the second half title in the Southern Division of the Carolina League and ended up playing in the championship series in that league, actually losing to a Wilmington affiliate of the Royals that is owned by Dave Heller. And so the Quad Cities owner will be buying championship rings, just not for the Quad Cities team. It'll be for his Wilmington, Delaware team.
Okay, so now off the field, Steve, remind us, what is the relationship between Dave Heller, the owner of the team, the city, and the Astros?
The Astros are affiliated, or have an affiliate with a contractual relationship with Dave Heller, who is the owner of the River Bandits franchise. Most teams have a 2 or 4 year agreement with their affiliates. Quad Cities was in the first year of a 2 year deal, an extension of previous contracts with Houston. The city owns the stadium in the Quad Cities, and Heller has a lease with the city of Davenport for the chance to play and have his team hold games at what is now modern Woodman Park.
Okay, and so then he has a contract with the Astros supply and pay players, coaches, et cetera?
Correct, yeah. All of the salaries in minor league baseball are paid for by the parent club. It's different from hockey, like in this market, where the baseball players are essentially their employees of the Houston Astros.
So now, talking about the flood again, financially and otherwise, did it have much of an impact on the season?
It certainly did. The attendance total for the season was just over 150,000, which surprisingly topped a full season's worth of baseball for Cedar Rapids, which was able to play in its facility all year. But it made first half they took a big hit during the first half of the season. I mean, you lose 18 home games, even that early in the year. You're not making the most money at that point in time that comes during the summer months, but whenever you don't open the gates, it's a chance to lose a few dollars, and this club certainly took a pretty good hit during the first half, and it forced a lot of rescheduling and cancellations of groups and those types of things that is kind of what they rely on in the early weeks of the season.
And how did this affect what the team pays the city? What is it, monthly rental or lease payments?
They have an annual lease agreement with the city, and a part of that agreement includes a provision for this situation. The lease was hammered out long before Dave got here. It was part of the renovation of the stadium under Kevin Krause's ownership. And it does call for a reduction in rent because of games lost because the facility was not available to play in. And between the combination of the railroad deciding to raise the tracks outside of the facility, which rendered it unavailable, and the Mississippi River flooding, which rendered it unavailable on a couple of occasions, it was a pretty sizable situation. And the game-by-game total is somewhere in the neighborhood of $11,000 reduction. The rent for this team is $273,000 per year, which is the second highest lease payment of any team in the Midwest League. It was done so to help facilitate create a pool of money that would lead to stadium improvements and fix-ups as needed, rather than having the club come back to the city on a fairly regular basis looking for, hey, we need X number of dollars to repaint and seal up cracks or whatever. There was some actual wisdom put into the construction of this lease to make it a viable continual situation where, when you have a project, such as, replacing seats, which is one of the things I know Dave Heller wants to do in a few years, there'll be a pool of money available to make that happen.
Now, any plans for next year, new rides, improvements, anything else that seem to be in the works that you know of yet?
Not that they've unveiled at this point. I would presume it's been a couple of years since there were any new rides installed, so we're about due for something like that. There will be a new video board, and there will be a new ribbon board. Those were scheduled to be installed during the current season, but had to be delayed in part because of the inability to get equipment onto dry soil behind the stadium to kind of lift it into place. And the video board will be about a third larger than the one that is there right now. And the ribbon board, which sits along the right field wall, will be bigger as well. So bigger and better continues to be Dave Heller's mantra with his improvements down there. And they'll be HD and are going to be of the same kind of crystal clear quality that you would see if you go to Wrigley Field, for example, has fairly recently installed video boards, and those would have been in place actually at some point this season, but had to be postponed.